Well, Taylor gave you a spoiler alert. Sermon's about prayer today. So we're talking about prayer. We're in Ephesians. We're continuing our study of Ephesians, and we're pretty near the end. We have this Sunday and next Sunday, and we'll be finished with the book of Ephesians. Today, specifically, is about prayer. Paul gives some instructions about prayer, and then he has a prayer request in the passage today. And so I have to start with a confession. Sometimes I am guilty of believing prayer is too passive. What I mean by that is I'm a doer. I like to get things done. If there's a problem that exists, I like to figure out what's wrong. I like to find a solution and then work on that solution. If there's something that needs to be done, there's something that needs to be accomplished, I like to come up with a plan. I like to work the plan. I like to get it done. And so that's kind of my personality. And sometimes prayer can seem very passive. Sometimes prayer can seem like you're not doing anything. Now, not only is prayer doing something, prayer is actually the most important thing to do. And I miss that a lot of times. I've learned a lot over the years. In my early years of ministry, I was especially bad. But if you are at all like me, and sometimes you begin to think, man, I don't have time to pray because I have stuff to do, know that not only is prayer doing something, it is doing the most important thing. And we're going to see that today. If you remember, we've been in Ephesians and we've been talking about armor and weapons and warfare this whole time. We've been talking about spiritual warfare. We've been talking about putting on the armor of God. And so I want to show you where this whole idea falls in that in this passage. So Ephesians chapter 6, and I want to read verses 10 through 17 again. That's where we've been so far. It says, "Finally, be strengthened by the Lord and by his vast strength. Put on the full armor of God so that you can stand against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers of this darkness, against evil spiritual forces in the heavens. For this reason, take up the full armor of God so that you may be able to resist in the evil day, and having prepared everything, to take your stand. Stand therefore with truth like a belt around your waist, righteousness like armor on your chest, and your feet sandaled with readiness for the gospel of peace. In every situation, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." So this is an action passage, right? This is a passage about war and battle and fighting and armor and weapons. Now, look at the concluding statements. Look where he goes next. Pray at all times in the Spirit with every prayer and request, and stay alert with all perseverance and intercession for all the saints. Pray also for me that the message may be given to me when I open my mouth to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel. For this, I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may be bold enough to speak about it as I should. In the midst of all this, what's the concluding statement about our battle? Pray. Pray. So this isn't a passive thing. This is warfare. When we begin to pray, it's spiritual warfare. And so what we're going to talk about today is bringing prayer to the battlefield. Bringing prayer to the battlefield. And just in verse 18... we have three really important things about prayer that we're going to talk about today. The first of them is when to pray. The second thing is how to pray. And finally, who to pray for. If we can go home with those three things, then we're ready to pray, right? When do I do it? How do I do it? And who do I do it for? And so that's where we're going to go today. And today we're not just going to talk about prayer. We're going to spend some time praying together today as well. But as we begin this passage, let me pray for us. Father, as we come today, I ask that you would open up our hearts, that we would be able to hear loud and clear what it is that you have to say. Lord, I ask that you would speak comfort to those of us who need comforted. Lord, I ask that you speak strength to those of us who need strengthened. Father, I ask that you speak conviction to those of us who need convicted. Lord, I ask that your voice is the only one that is heard here today. Father, hide me behind the cross. Jesus Christ and Christ alone gets the glory here in this place. Father, I ask that you would open up our hearts and minds, that our minds would be able to clearly understand what it is that you're saying, and that our hearts would be able to receive that, and that we would go from this place changed. Bless us now with your presence in Jesus' name. Amen. So the first thing I want to talk about is when to pray. Now, in verse 18, for all of you Bible scholars, look at it really closely. What's the answer to that question? When to pray? All the time, right? That's not a hard one. You don't have to be a scholar to figure that one out. All the time. Pray all the time. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 is your memory verse for today, okay? Pray constantly. You guys got that one, right? 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Pray all the time. When should I pray? All the time. Never stop. Now, how can we do that? One of the ways is, as he says, pray all the time in the Spirit. We've said this before in the last several weeks, but it's so important right now. A spiritual battle must be fought with spiritual resources, right? We can't fight a spiritual battle under our own resources, our own strength, our own power. It doesn't work that way. Spiritual battle needs spiritual resources. And so these are prayers that we pray in the Spirit. We're praying in the Spirit, and that means that these prayers, the Holy Spirit himself empowers us to utter these prayers. He's the one that gives us the prayers. He's the one that empowers this whole thing. What I mean by that is in Romans 8:26, it says, in the same way, the Spirit also helps us in our weakness because we don't know what we should pray for. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with inexpressible groans. That's how you can pray at all times, when you pray in the Spirit, when you don't know what you're supposed to pray for. You don't have to have these fancy words or the right words. The Spirit himself will strengthen you and he will intercede where you fall short. And that's why we pray, like it says, all the time, in the Spirit, with all kinds of prayers. Prayers of requests, prayers of thanksgiving, prayers of grief, prayers of confusion. Have you ever prayed a prayer of confusion before? I sure have. God, I have no idea what's going on right now. I don't know what you're doing. I don't know how I'm supposed to act. I don't know why this is happening. All those kinds of prayers. The important thing is that you're in constant communication with God. It's not that important, the exact words that you say or the kinds of prayers that you're praying. We don't have these special prayers that we have to pray in certain situations. There's certain situations where you get into where you say, I don't know what to pray right now. I have no idea, but God, I'm coming to you. The important thing is that communication, that you're constantly in communication with God. So remember this when we talk about when to pray. Prayer on the battlefield should be as natural as breathing. And it should be at the very center of every fight. It should just be what you do, a constant in your life. So how do we pray? That's the big one we want answered, right? How do we do it? How do we pray? Well, verse 18 also tells us that. It gives us two really important aspects of prayer: alertness and perseverance. Staying alert and persevering. Now, alert means that you keep your spiritual eyes open. What do I mean by that? You look to see where the attacks are coming from. Now, you know yourself, right? I know me. And I know the places where the attacks come from. I know the places where I'm vulnerable. And I know the places where I'm weak. So I stay alert. Keep your eyes open. Stay alert and see who it is that's hurting. Who needs rescued right now? See, we have to be alert in our prayers, but here's one of the ways that we need to be alert that I think we don't think of very often. This means being alert in thanksgiving. Colossians 4:2 says, devote yourselves to prayer and stay alert in it with thanksgiving. You see, part of being alert is paying attention to the great things that God is doing. See, we keep our spiritual eyes open in the middle of the battle. You know, a lot of times we see those who are hurting or drowning. We see our issues or our problems. We see our worries. But at the same time, you have to always keep your spiritual eyes open and see the victories God is winning everywhere and the great things that he has done for you. That's where you get your encouragement and your strength to keep fighting. One of the things I'm most proud of as a dad is that when my kids pray, we sit down at the dinner table. And I will ask, everybody takes turns, and I'll just pick somebody. I'll say, you know, Naomi, I want you to pray for us before dinner. And every single time, I can pretty much guarantee you that I say, it's your turn to pray, and we all bow our heads, and the first thing that comes out of their mouth is, Thank you, God. Thank you, God. That's where we start. Thank you, God, for the incredible meal that Mom just made. Thank you that we won our football game today. Thank you. And then we go into our request. But part of keeping your spiritual eyes open and being alert that's so important is look and see the great things God is doing. There is always a reason to praise Him. There is always a reason to thank Him. You just got to be looking for it. So stay alert. The second thing that we learn is perseverance. Now, this is one of those cool words. I don't know what translation you're reading from today. Different translations translate this word differently because the Greek word here has a now and a later aspect to it. There's a current thing and there's a thing in the future. Now, what I mean by that is the now aspect, this word can actually mean devotion or dedication. So be dedicated or devoted in your prayers. And what that means is we're instructed to give ourselves completely over, to be 100% about prayer. Now, one of my favorite passages in the whole Bible, which I know I say that about a different passage every week, but one of my favorite passages in the whole Bible is Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 47. This is a picture of the early church, and it doesn't matter how many people show up on a Sunday. It doesn't matter how great our worship or live stream is, how incredible the sermon is. It doesn't matter how big our building is. If we're doing this, then we are a beautifully successful church. Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 47. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Now, they've given themselves over 100% to those things. They've been devoted. They're dedicated. And because of that, look what happens. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and signs were being performed through the apostles. Now, all the believers were together and held all things in common. They sold their possessions and property, and they distributed the proceeds to all as any had need. Every day they devoted themselves to meeting together in the temple and broke bread from house to house. They ate their food with joyful and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. Every day the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. Brothers and sisters, that's church right there. And what started that? That devotion, that dedication. And one of the important things was they gave themselves 100% to prayer. They were all in. They were devoted. So that's that now aspect. But there's also a future aspect to that word. And this is where we get our translation today of perseverance, persevering in prayer. This means never giving up, no matter how hard it gets. Never giving up, no matter how hard it gets. And this is where the battle comes in. This is where the fight comes in. Back in Ephesians, you remember in verse 16 of chapter 6, it says, "For this reason, take up the full armor of God so that you may be able to resist in the evil day, and having prepared everything to take your stand." Remember, that's that idea of standing your ground. Standing your ground and fighting. That's the idea of perseverance. See, when we're talking about prayer right now, we're talking about warfare. We're talking about perseverance. We're talking about standing your ground. So how do we pray? Stay alert. Keep your spiritual eyes open all the time. And don't quit. Don't give up. Don't ever stop. Give yourself to it 100%. Just remember this. Prayer on the battlefield is always aware of the war that rages and always committed to fight till the end. Prayer on the battlefield is always aware of the war that rages all around us and always committed to fight till the end, to stand your ground. Now, that's not passive, is it? That's not passive. So, last thing I want to talk about in verse 18 is who do we pray for? And it's interesting because he says we should pray for all the saints in this passage. So, we're not Catholic. We're not talking about specific saints. I'm not talking about Patrick or Michael or any of those guys. When Paul talks about all the saints, what he means is believers, Christians, followers of Christ. That's what he means when he says all the saints. And so Paul is telling him here to pray for all the saints, for the brothers and sisters all over. Now, what's interesting about that is, does that mean we don't pray for people who aren't saved? No, we got to be praying for them too, and pray like crazy for them. But there's a specific purpose to this. He's talking about something specifically here. And so why is he telling us to pray for the saints? Now, this is where part of that being attentive, paying attention, keeping your eyes open, is so important. Praying for others, praying for brothers and sisters in Christ, means that we must be connected enough with them that we know what's going on in their lives. If we're going to pray for others, we have to first care about them. We have to desire to know. We have to be connected to at least the extent that we know what's going on in each other's lives, and we can be lifting each other up in prayer. That's one of the great things about being involved in the men and women's Bible studies on Thursday nights, is we take some time and we say, hey guys, here's what's going on in my life. And we need to be praying for each other. Now, over the years, this has been a big struggle I've had as a pastor. And I think recently I've come to a realization, but here's my struggle. I, no matter how hard I try, can't keep up with every single person and every single need in the church. I want to, because I love you guys so much, but I can't do it. I can't keep up with it. But you know what? I was never meant to. You see, we're a family. See, I'm not the only one that needs to be alert in my prayers, am I? We all need to be. We all need to be connected. We all need to be alert and aware of what's going on with one another and be praying for each other all the time, because I can't do it. I can't do it all. We're a church. We're a family. We are all ministers. We are all ministers called to minister to one another. So it's my prayer that your love and your care for one another would be so great that you're constantly connected to one another and constantly in prayer with one another. That's my desire for our church. Remember this. Prayer on the battlefield always looks out for brothers and sisters in the fight. We fight together. And so prayer on the battlefield is always looking out for one another. All intercession for all of the saints. All of the time. So that was all just verse 18. And this almost was two sermons, but I decided, I think I'm just trying to drag out Ephesians because I love it so much. I keep adding extra sermons at the end here. But I'm not going to do that. I just want to point out this last thing in these last couple verses. Because something different happens. Paul moves from instructions to verse 19 and a prayer request. He says, pray also for me, so that the message may be given to me when I open my mouth to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel. For this, I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I might be bold enough to speak about it as I should. Paul moves from instructions to prayer request. Paul began this book, I want to remind you where he started, in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 15 through 19, in this beautiful prayer for his church, for his brothers and sisters in Ephesus. He says, this is why, since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I never stop giving thanks for you as I remember you in my prayers. I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, would give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, so that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what is the wealth of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the mighty working of his strength. That's his prayer for his church. Isn't that a beautiful church? Beautiful prayer that he prays. But now, he asks them to be praying for him. Now again, this part of the sermon, this is one of those that I think this part was just for me in my studies, but I'll just share with you what I learned, and hopefully it'll help you as well. But this was for me this week. In the past, I've shared with you that especially in my early years of ministry, I always struggled asking for prayer. You know, there's so many needs and so many hurts and so many things that people need, and I'm here to take care of everybody, even though we've talked about that before. And so don't worry about me. I got this. My stuff's under control. Don't worry about me. Just let me know what you need prayed for. Well, I got doing some study, and this isn't the only time the Apostle Paul asked the church to pray for him. In fact, in Colossians 4, 3 and 4, Romans 15, 30 through 32, 2 Corinthians 1, 11, 1 Thessalonians 5, 25, 2 Thessalonians 3, 1, it's Paul's practice at the end of his letters to do what? Hey guys, pray for me. pray for me. I just wrote you this long letter. I gave you this instruction. I preached this sermon. I prayed for you. Now pray for me. Pray for me. And I love what it is that he asks for in his prayer. First of all, clarity. First thing, I want to be able to clearly communicate the mystery of the gospel. And this is, I have to tell you, this is truly the preacher's struggle. How do I make it clear? How can I find the right words? How can I wrap my mind around these unfathomable truths, let alone explain them to somebody else? And so that's Paul's prayer. Pray first for me that I can make this message clear, that I can just speak it the way it is, that people will hear it, that people will understand it. And then the second thing he asks them to pray for is boldness as he preaches. Now, this is kind of funny when I first read this, because this is Paul, right? I mean, who's more bold than Paul? He just lays it out like it is all the time. And so he prays and he asks him, he says, pray for me that I might have the boldness to say what it is that I'm supposed to say and say what it is that I need to say. And the reason for that, brothers and sisters, Paul is not Christ. He's not inerrant. He's not perfect. And the situation he's in, he's tempted not to preach the message in its entirety. There's a temptation here. That's what he's asking for prayer for. He is tempted to not preach the whole message. And why is that? If we look back in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 20 through 23, it says, God exercised this power in Christ by raising him from the dead and seating him at the right hand in the heavens, far above every ruler and authority, power and dominion, every title, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he subjected everything under his feet and appointed him as head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of the one who fills all things. Now, here's Paul's situation. You remember he's in prison, right? And they're holding him and bringing him before different authorities, governors, and he keeps appealing to the higher authorities. And so basically what's going on here is he must stand in front of the powers and authorities and tell them that they have no power and no authority. That's what he's called to do right now. That's the message. All power and authority has been put under the feet of Jesus Christ. Now, can I preach the gospel and leave that part out? Can I just tell them that Jesus came to save them and forget about the authority stuff? Because that's just going to get me in prison longer and maybe killed. There's always that temptation of, let me preach the whole gospel. Let me be true to the scriptures. And preachers struggle with this because we all have those temptations. We all have those things that want to keep us from being bold. Maybe it's because you want your church to be really big, and so you don't want to offend anybody. You don't want to say anything that might upset somebody. Or maybe you are worried about your government. Maybe you're worried about what they're going to say about what you have to say. Or maybe you're really concerned about money. And you end up letting that be your motivation, and you leave out certain parts of the gospel because they're not going to make you much money. See, that temptation is always there. And so Paul's prayer is, hey guys, I'm fighting this battle, so pray for me that I will be bold. Pray for me that I won't leave out any little bit of the gospel, but I'll stand in front of those powers and those authorities and tell them you have no power and you have no authority because Jesus Christ is victorious. Our men's Bible study, we're going through our statement of faith, the Baptist faith and message. And the first article is the scriptures. That's the foundation for everything. That's where we started. And we read this quote, and I don't have it exactly. I thought of it this morning, so I didn't write it in my notes. But basically he says, when we have a worldview that is based on the scriptures, it will necessarily conflict a worldview based on man's wisdom. What that means is when I base my life on the scriptures and the whole scriptures, it is guaranteed to conflict with the worldview that's based on man's wisdom. And so guess what? It's going to be offensive sometimes. When I preach the whole gospel, people aren't going to always like it. And so pray for me that I have strength to boldly speak the message in the midst of those temptations. And remember this as you pray for me. Unless the people are praying for the preacher, he will not be able to preach. And even if he did, it would be powerless and ineffective. anything that I believe I've accomplished up here behind this is because of the people that have been praying for me through the years, every week as I prepare. Because without that, the preacher can't preach. And if he did, it would be useless anyway. So what I want to do now is have a time of prayer, now that we've talked so much about prayer. I want to invite the musicians to come back up and play a little bit for us as we pray. And what I want to do today is we're just going to spend some time with our eyes closed and our head bowed. And I'm going to just lead you in some prayer. I'm going to give you some things to be praying about. And we're going to focus on these specific things. So you're going to be praying on your own prayers, right where you're at. If you want to pray with a husband or wife or friend next to you, definitely do that. But we're going to spend some time in these prayers, and I'm just going to kind of lead you in these different things. So let me open us up in prayer, and then we'll just remain in prayer, and I'll kind of lead you in what to be praying for along the way. Let's pray. Father, as we come today, I ask that you would open your ears. I ask that you would hear everything that we say. I know that we have access to your very throne room through Jesus Christ. And so that's where we come today. We come and we kneel at your feet. And so, Father, I ask that that you would be attentive, that you would listen, that you would hear our prayers. And Lord, I just ask that our hearts would truly cry out to you, that we don't try today to just say the right things or give you a perfect prayer, but instead we would just open up our hearts to you. So bless this time now, Father, as we pray. Be with us as we pray, Father. Brothers and sisters, I want you now to spend some time in thanksgiving. Spend some time remembering all that God has done and all that God is doing for you. Spend some time in a prayer of thanksgiving. I want to close today by showing you something that amazes me. I want to show you what it is that Paul does not ask in his prayer request. I want to show you what Paul does not ask the people to pray for. We look at again, verses 19 and 20. He says, pray also for me, that the message may be given to me when I open my mouth to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel. For this I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I might be bold enough to speak about it as I should. You know what he doesn't pray for? To be released from prison. He doesn't pray that his captors would be judged by God, that his chains would fall off, that he would walk out of prison. He doesn't ask for that prayer. And that's incredible to me. He doesn't ask for a change of circumstances, only that he would be faithful in the midst of them. Now, I got to be honest with you, 90% of my prayers are probably for a change in circumstance. I don't know about you. He doesn't ask for that. He doesn't ask for a change in his circumstances, only that he will be faithful in them. I want to close with this. Our number one concern in prayer should not be how to change our circumstances, but how to better live for Christ in the midst of them. I know some of you are probably walking through a dark valley right now, and there's nothing wrong with saying, Lord, I don't want to be in this anymore. Change this, bring some light, remove this. But above everything else, first and foremost, Lord, let me live as a faithful follower of Jesus Christ in the midst of it. Amen. Stand with me and we'll close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come today and we thank you. We thank you for the love that you have shown perfectly through Jesus Christ's death and resurrection. This is how we know what love is. Not that we love you, but that you loved us and gave your son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Heavenly Father, we praise you. You are the one worthy of all praise. We glorify your name. We lift you up here in this place. Your name is the name above every other name. You are the power. You are the authority. You are the wisdom. You are the truth forever. And Father, we come today and Father, we thank you for the incredible things that you've done in our lives. We thank you for the deliverance that we've seen over and over again. We thank you for the ways that you've worked. And Father, today we come and we ask that for those who are here with us today who are walking through the valley of the shadow of death, that they would fear no evil. Father, we ask that you would change their circumstance. Father, we ask that you would bring light to the dark situation and the struggle that they're in. We ask that they would see your deliverance here at this time and at this point. But Father, above everything, I ask that they would be faithful followers of Jesus in the midst of it. I ask that people would see Christ through the way that they deal with their trials, the way that they live through their struggles. And I ask that for each and every one of us, no matter where we're at today, Father, whatever place we are in life, that we would be bold in our proclamation of the good news of Jesus Christ. Father, it's our prayer that you would add to our number every day those who are being saved, because they see how our Father, our loving Heavenly Father, our Savior Jesus Christ, walks with us through every mountain and every valley. Lord, keep us faithful in whatever situation we're in. We love you. We thank you. We praise you. We lift your name on high. It's in the name of Jesus Christ we pray these things. Amen. Thank you.